Welcome to worship at Hollywood United Methodist Church. We are glad you have joined us on this third Sunday of Advent, both in person and online. As you're able, please rise for opening hymns.
Invite all little ones to come up to the steps before we go off to Children's Church. We are a small group, but we are a mighty group today. Thank you, parents and families, for getting your kids here on this challenging day today. Well, I have something I want to ask you. Who knows what this is? Who can tell me what this is?
A fake model of an Oscar award.
Oh, wow. A fake model of an Oscar award. Okay, I'll take that. Someone gave this to me because I directed a short film, and they gave me this as kind of an honorary fake model of an Oscar. Have you ever gotten an award or a trophy like this? Or a medal or anything? Have you ever gotten a certificate at school? What did you get it for, Zion?
For being a scholar.
For being a scholar. That is fantastic. Yeah, a round of applause for being a scholar. That is amazing. So down the street from us today, the Oscar Awards are happening, and they are recognizing people for doing a great job in making movies. And for some of those people who are getting an award tonight, it's going to be probably like the best moment of their life. It's going to be the highlight of their life up to this point, because they did something that they're really proud of and other people noticed. And I think as God's children, we are called to do things that make God proud. We're called to do things that make a difference in the world, to help people, to show them love, to show them grace, to show them peace. And so I want you all to think about, what can you do today to make God proud? And we'll be talking in our Lenten series about how we can become more and more like Jesus, and how you can hold my fake model of an Oscar. I know you're looking at it, Annalie, if you really want to look at it. Careful. Okay, perfect. There you go. Thank you. And so I'm happy that you're here. We're going to talk about those things, and we're going to continue to recognize and celebrate Lent in Children's Church. Should we pray? Okay, let's pray. Creator God, we thank you for each of these young ones here, both in our church, at home, watching online. Thank you for our church family that guides and nurtures these young ones to grow up thinking about who you are in their lives, looking at you, Jesus, as the model and example for us. I pray each of us today can think about what can we do to make you proud and to make a difference in the world and to share your love and your light with those around us. May that be all of our goal and our desire and our aspiration each and every day. God bless you, and we thank you. In your name we pray. Amen. As we head off to Children's Church, I invite you all to stand and pass the peace of Christ to one another.
The peace of the Lord be with you. Now we're taking a moment to prepare ourselves for a period of conversation, of prayer with God on this Oscar Sunday. So I invite you to just take a breath. You had to get through all that traffic to get in here, and you got here, and that is amazing. Thank you, God, for that. But let's leave that tension at the door, breathe it in, and breathe it out. Invite the Spirit into your heart, into your mind, as we allow our chancel choir to take us into this special moment of prayer together. Let us pray. God of power and might, mother of the world, parent to us all, we give thanks this morning for the beauty of community and the power of family, the one we are given and the one we make. We give thanks for our church and our pastor. In this month of celebrating women, we acknowledge the power of women in our lives every day. After all, every day is a woman's day, not just March. Dear God, we live each day and we bring something of value and power to the world, and we are thankful. God, we take this moment to especially name the need for women's experiences, journeys, wisdom, to be a part of how we build our community and how we do your work in the world. God, we confess that in too many places the voices of women are diminished or even dismissed. In halls of government and workplaces, in schools, and in too many faith spaces. And there is a loss for it. The world knows pain for it. We can and will do better. We thank you for the leadership of the women in the church. We give thanks to the mothers of the church who have gone on before us to break boundaries and glass ceilings and build ties and plant seeds. We give thanks for the long leadership of Reverend Kathy here in our church, for Bishop Marianne Swenson and our new Bishop Dottie, and for all women who serve and shape the church. We give thanks for their roles as servants, teachers, leaders, missionaries, pastors, and prophets. May they serve as an inspiration for all who follow. After all, girls as players too. We pray for women around the world, all women and girls, many of whom live in daily danger and whose future and autonomy remain insecure. May they know safety and possibility and fulfillment. May their wisdom and experience be considered and embraced in the place where they live. And may all women be respected and cherished for who they are. We take this moment of silent prayer to lift up all that lingers on our hearts and minds, and to pray for women around the world who struggle and fight for change in big and small ways. Gracious God, we lift to you those in our community in need of your healing presence and Holy Spirit today. We pray for Dorian and her family on the loss of her mother Kay, for Kwok and his sister Yeet, may she know your healing presence, for recovery and healing for Charlie and Carol, for Chris, Isaac, and Azul, for Tom's mom, for Janice, for Nancy and Lauren on the loss of a father and a partner. And we pray for Kayla and Natalie. May they know the blessing and fulfillment on the next part of their journey. We give thanks for all the ways you move in our lives, and we praise you. All is possible in your name, all healing, all hope, all future. And we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, who taught us how to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Good morning, Hollywood family. You did it. You're survivors of daylight savings time and all the blockades. We should have shirts that say, I made it to church Oscar Sunday. It's a unique experience. So it's great seeing you all here today. All right, we got our check-in code. So pull that phone out, scan that QR code. If you would, please just drop your name in name or email if it's your first time in there, and any prayer requests you have would be great as well. I collect those every week and add them to our prayer team's list. Also, for comments today, it's we're celebrating Women's History Month, so I thought maybe in the comments maybe you could put in there a woman or a group of women that you want to lift up today. And then the second suggestion is maybe text that person or people if you haven't talked to them for a while and let them know about that. So drop their name in there. I'd love to see your comments today. All right, so we are looking for more volunteers for the AV team. Team's growing, and John West is taking names, so if you would, that's right, we don't have a slide for this, but you can just email him at jwest@hollywoodumc.org if you're interested, or you can find him after church and give him your name and talk about it. Blessing of the Animals is coming up, and there are little invitations that we printed that you can grab. Those invitations are for you to take home, but not for you to keep. They're for you to give to someone, so you can invite a friend and their beloved animal to Blessing of the Animals on the 26th of this month, right after church. We will also be out in the courtyard. There'll be a ton of us, and there'll be special blessings for your pets. Palm Sunday is coming up with our big Easter egg hunt, and I can't believe it's already happening, but April 2nd, it's coming up. So put that on your calendar, as well as our new members class is beginning after Easter. I think we're targeting right now April 23rd and 30th, but email Rev Kathy if you're interested, and we can work out those dates as we go, see who can make what. Small group reminders, we have Monday movie night is tomorrow night with me. We're going to go see Champions at the Burbank AMC 16 at 7:20, so grab a seat if that movie interests you. Also, Spirit Pub is happening this Tuesday at 6 p.m., so that happens at Mickey's in West Hollywood. And the choir is looking for more singers, so I have a special guest, and I'm going to announce her since it's Academy Award Sunday. Live from Hollywood, California, it's Andrea.
Wow. With that introduction, I feel so honored. Greetings, HUMC. My name is Andrea Thornton Bolden, and I want to tell you my choir story. I've been a member of the HUMC Chancel Choir for 7 years. I'd attended Hollywood United Methodist off and on for a few years before that, but on one particular Sunday in 2016, the choir performed several songs from one of my favorite Broadway musicals, The Wiz. I know every word to The Wiz, so being me, I sang along with the choir in my pew. And apparently, my enthusiastic accompaniment did not go unnoticed. After service, Cheryl Johnson Hartwell walked right up to me and said, "Hi, I'm Cheryl. You should join the choir." Y'all, I don't know if everyone here has met Cheryl Johnson Hartwell, but when Cheryl tells you to do something, you do it. She's just that compelling. So join the choir I did. But church, I was low-key nervous. For one, I had not sang publicly since high school and college. I wasn't even totally sure if I still could. For two, I have never, in all my history of singing, been able to read music. Never, not never. John West says, "That's a B flat." I say, "No, that's lines and dots. How are we all just going to sit here and pretend that's what's on this page is music? This is a collective delusion." It baffled my high school choir director then, and I'm sure it baffles some of my choir colleagues now. But honestly, the amazing thing about singing with HUMC's Chancel Choir is that it doesn't really matter. Technical perfection is not what we're about. We're a ministry. Our goal is not to intimidate you with our vocal prowess or wow you into a rapturous, stirring applause. Though if you want to applaud for us, that's fine. We like it. Our goal is to be a channel for the Holy Spirit, an invitation to worship, to pray, to love. And when I sing, I try my best to look out and connect with each and every one of you. because I want you to know how much God loves you. We do too. And we need you, church. We're in desperate need of more choir members. If you sang in high school, if you kill it in karaoke, if you can carry a tune in a bucket, we need you. You do not have to be a professional musician. Again, I cannot read music. But I make up for it by working hard in rehearsal, then practicing at home. If you're willing to show up and work hard, then the incomparable John West will do the rest. So, church, if I've managed to convince you and you're interested in joining the choir, please see John after service or email him at john@hollywoodumc.org. If I haven't convinced you, then you've left me with no choice but to resort to the most effective and most persuasive tactic I can think of. Hi, I'm Cheryl. Y'all should join the choir. Thank you.
Wow. I love the cheering section on this side. And the choir also, we have a small group once a month as well, too, which we're having this Wednesday before their rehearsal. So it's a lot of fun. They're a fun group, so please join if you're able. All right. Also, stop by the welcome table. See me, especially if you're new. I want to meet you. So see me and all of these things. We can talk about many different events going on here at Hollywood UMC. All that we do here, though, is made possible by you, by your prayers, your presence, your service, and your gifts. So as we put up the QR code, or as the ushers come forward, please give generously as you're able so that we can continue to be a beacon of hope here in the heart of Hollywood. Thank you.
We will be the more we live in bondage. Gospel of John, chapter 4, verses 7 through 15 and 25 through 30. A Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." His disciples had gone to the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria? Jews do not share things in common with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have no bucket, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us the well and with his sons and his flocks drank from it?" Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, but those who drink of the water that I will give them will never be thirsty. The water that I give will become in them a spring of water gushing up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I may never be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water." The woman said to him, "I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will proclaim all things to us." Jesus said to her, "I am he, the one who is speaking to you." Just then his disciples came. They were astonished that he was speaking with a woman, but no one said, "What do you want?" or "Why are you speaking with her?" Then the woman left the water jar and went back to the city. She said to the people, "Come and see a man who told me everything I have ever done. He cannot be the Messiah, can he?" They left the city and were on their way to him. May God bless this reading to our hearing and understanding. Thanks be to God.
This morning we continue our Lenten sermon series entitled Looking for Love in All the Wrong Places. The Christian scriptures offer many images where love and grace and forgiveness and righteousness can really be found, which are in places that we don't typically look. Too often we seek wholeness and happiness in places that only offer fleeting satisfaction. Lent is a season for reflecting on where we find true meaning and purpose and the abundance of God's love and grace. We began the series by looking at how to resist temptation. Then last week we talked about Nicodemus and Jesus and how we need to look for the helpers in life and be a helper to others. Now, before we do a deep dive into today's gospel lesson, a portion of which Liz read, a couple of quick stories from our first leg of the 2023 Bruce Tour. Of course, Liz and I flew into Portland the day after one of their largest snowfalls in recent memory, meaning the streets were icy. We took an Uber over to the Moda Center, and our driver greeted us by telling us that he had already taken two trips over there to the arena. And for good measure, he added, "The boomers are out in force tonight." Technically, I suppose, but I prefer the term Generation Jones, which is the last few years of that era, shall we say. Now, earlier in the day, we'd ventured out only once to Powell's City of Books, which was a few blocks away, and lots of snow was still on the ground, and there were half blocks on the sidewalks where it was really, really icy. I was taking very small baby steps, as the last thing I wanted to do was to fall and break a leg when I went to see Bruce. It was not going to happen. Now, was it my fault that there are so many nice men in Portland who would offer to help me across the icy patches? I don't think so. But Liz told me I was liking it way too much. I blame it on the gray hair, which I tell everyone would have been this color when I was 42. So I mean that. But you know, I was really and truly grateful for each of those men who helped me. A complete stranger in need, even if they were going the other direction. They saw someone who needed help, and they responded. Well, in today's passage from the Gospel of John, Jesus saw a stranger, a woman, and in spite of his own weariness, he responded. Now, to set the context, he and the disciples are in Samaria. We know that the Samaritans were considered ritually unclean and religiously and racially inferior. Any close physical contact with a Samaritan, drinking water from a common bucket or sharing a meal together, was prohibited. Jewish travelers tended to not travel through the area where the Samaritans lived. But true to Jesus' style, he went there. And at this point, the disciples and Jesus have been traveling for some distance. And Jesus is tired and he's thirsty. His disciples had gone into town to buy food, and Jesus sat down by a well, which was commonly known as Jacob's well from the Hebrew scriptures. It's midday, and that's important. It's midday, and along comes a Samaritan woman to draw water. Jesus asked what seems on its face to be a simple question: would you give me a drink of water? The question might have been simple, but the motivation couldn't have been more complex. She was a triple threat. She was a woman. She was a Samaritan, and she was something else, too. In Jesus' time, women were not allowed to even worship with men. Men's morning devotions included the prayer, "Thank God I am not a woman." Women had no place in public life. They were not to be seen or heard, especially not by holy men, who did not speak to their own wives in public. As the great Barbara Brown Taylor has written, one group of pious men was known as the bruised and bleeding Pharisees because they closed their eyes when they saw a woman coming down the street, even if it meant going into a wall and breaking their noses. Yeah, really. She was a Samaritan and she was a woman, but she was also a woman with a questionable reputation. We'll come back to that in a minute. But respectable women, you see, made their trips to the well early in the morning when they could greet one another and gossip about the news. But this woman was surely one of the women they talked about, and the fact that she showed up at noon was a sure sign that she was not welcome to join them in the mornings. But it is with this Samaritan woman that Jesus carries on the longest recorded conversation that he had with anyone in the Gospels. It's as though he looked at the list of people that are least acceptable in society, and he found this woman just because she checked off all the boxes. He approaches her on her turf, in broad daylight, without a care for what others might think. Jesus says to her, "If you knew who I really am, you'd be asking me for water. You'd be asking me for living water." And she says, "You don't even have a bucket to draw water with. Besides, are you better than Jacob, who built this well?" Jesus said, "You know, if you drink of this water, you're going to get thirsty again. But if you drink of the water that I can offer you, you will never be thirsty again, because I give you living waters." And then something begins to dawn in her. She begins to realize that maybe, just maybe, this Jewish man, who was willing to talk with her in the light of day, in front of everyone, despite the social prohibitions, maybe he could be someone who would offer her another chance in life. Maybe Jesus might be the Messiah, the person who will ready her for the next step in her life, to be the place and the person she looks to for love, so that she can become the person that God intended her to be, something that before she'd never dared to dream about. Can't you just hear her saying, "Sir, please give me that water so I don't have to come back to this well, so I don't have to endure the taunts and the whispers of the other women who consider me less than, who judge me for my past, who will never ever accept me as part of the community. Please, sir, give me that water so that I can become the person that God created me to be." To this point, Jesus is telling her, it doesn't matter who you are. You're a Samaritan. You're a woman. Society might reject both of those characteristics, both of which you were born with and which make you you. But God does not reject you. God loves you just like God loves each of us, precisely, precisely for who we are. But then in a portion that we didn't read, because it's 42 verses, the chapter, As quickly as her heart has soared to new heights, reality hit her smack in the face. Jesus says, go get your husband. And she says, but I have no husband. Jesus responds, that's true. You've had five, and the man you're living with now is not your husband. All of a sudden, the conversation changes. Oh, you're a prophet. Well, let's talk about you for a little while, shall we? This woman does when we're all confronted with our own stuff that might be hurtful to ourselves or others. We change the subject. None of us like being reminded of unpleasant realities, so we just pretend they don't exist. Or we try to divert attention to other people and situations to avoid dealing with them. Now, here's the thing. Historically, we've read this text as this woman, how shall I say it, might be a bit promiscuous. We'll just put it that way. But Nadia Boltz-Weber, the Lutheran minister, points out that there are any number of reasons why the Samaritan woman might have the past that she has. Perhaps she was married off as a teen bride, then widowed and passed along among her dead husband's brothers, as per the literate marriage practice of the day. Maybe her various husbands abandoned her because she's infertile. Maybe she's a victim of abuse. We know that she can't leave her husbands. We know that they are the ones who have the power to divorce. We just don't know why she is in the place that she's in. But here's what we do know. You'll notice that Jesus does not judge her. He did not condemn her. He didn't tell her to repent or change her ways. I'm guessing there's a whole lot more to the story that John didn't write down. But the important thing is here. Jesus tells her what is going to be important going forward. Paraphrasing, it's who you are and the way that you live that counts before God. This woman at the well did nothing to merit Jesus' attention, did nothing to earn Jesus' forgiveness, and did nothing to deserve Jesus' love. As we talked about last week, love is a gift. Grace is a gift. Can't you imagine what Jesus said to her? I know all about you. I know your past. I know about your reputation, whether it's deserved or not. And I still love you. I value you. I care about you. And I want to give you these living waters, which are a metaphor for God's love, so that you can become the person God intends for you to be. In her great book, Traveling Mercies, Anne Lamott describes a time when one of her fellow church members told her about adopting her son through an organization called ASK, Adopt Special Kids. And part of that adoption process included filling out a questionnaire, checking yes or no to one's willingness to adopt babies that had been born addicted or terminally ill or who had physical or mental disabilities. And she and her husband had checked every box on the list. And Lamott's pastor said that God, too, is just like that adoptive parent who says, sure, I'll take the kids who are addicted or terminal. I pick all of the developmentally disabled kids. I pick the selfish ones. I pick the liars. I choose them. I choose the disobedient ones and the terrified ones, the self-indulgent ones and especially the troublemakers, the damaged ones and the unlovable ones. In love, I choose them all. I will be a parent to them all. I will end their separation, and I will bring them home to me. Well, family, it was the thirst quencher Jesus who reached out to that Samaritan woman, who took the initiative to end her separation from God and to bring her home so that she would stop looking for love in all the wrong places. You see, when we love others as Jesus loves us, we realize that true love doesn't wait around to be asked. It seeks people out. It reaches out with the thundering rains of mercy, with grace and forgiveness. Because when we truly drink deeply of the water of Jesus' love that is offered to us, by definition, we are changed. We are transformed. We're no longer bound by cultural norms. We're bound only by the love of God in Jesus Christ. And then we want to share that amazing love with the world. This Samaritan woman who went to the well at midday to completely avoid being around others was so excited about these living waters that she had found in Jesus, that Jesus had offered her, that she completely forgot she'd come for water. She ran into town to be around people so she could tell them about Jesus. John called her the first evangelist, for she couldn't wait to share the good news of God's love with even those who had rejected and despised her. This was living water unlike anything she had ever experienced. We too need to have that same exuberance. We need to be excited about sharing the good news of God's love, even with those who would reject us, who would say that we are unworthy, who would say that we who proclaim all are welcome regardless of whom we love are wrong, who would say that God is a God of judgment and not a God of love, if they even claim there's a God at all and don't think that we need our heads examined for being people of faith. And here in Hollywood, that's a lot of people who would reject us, who would turn their back on the loving God that we worship and follow and from whose water we drink. But there are so many people, family, there are so many people who have been thirsty this week, who have been looking for a drink of water, of living water, to nurture their hearts and be refreshed in their souls. But when they hear about the actions of too many state legislatures using God and religion to mask their intentions to inscribe homophobia and transphobia and drag queen phobia and just plain old discrimination into public policy, there are two things that happen. One, all Christians get painted with that same paintbrush, and two, with a paintbrush rather, of hypocrisy. And two, those who thirst for the inclusive love of God, turn away once again and think, as did the woman at the well, there's no way that God loves me or would care for me. But in our community of faith, both here and in Toluca Lake and online, we believe that God loves everyone and that each of us is created in God's good image. We believe that the power of God's love for each of us is stronger than the human constructs of racism or sexism or gender identity or any cultural norms, and that God loves us for whom we are, and we are bold to proclaim that love to others. This is the well of love that we drink from, that quenches our thirst in a way the world never can. And if you need help in finding that well of love in your life, talk with me or with Bridie or with Devin. Join a small group to feel God's love anew. Don't stay thirsty, but reach out. This is what community is for. In closing, one last Bruce story. At the Seattle show, it wasn't just boomers. Behind us sat a man, younger man, with elementary school children and his mother, intergenerational, all of whom were Springsteen fans. This guy gets the Best Dad Award for 2023. He turned to his kids and said, "Don't worry about school tomorrow. This is important." Toward the end of the concert, Bruce sang one of my favorite songs, Land of Hope and Dreams, which I had never heard live before. In that song, he invites us all, and by all means all, to meet by train in the land of hope and dreams. And I won't read all of the lyrics, but it speaks to who we are as people of faith. This train carries saints and sinners, losers and winners, whores and gamblers, lost souls, the brokenhearted. This train all aboard, faith, will be rewarded. Jesus both rewarded and restored the faith of the Samaritan woman with living waters. May we all drink from Christ's well so that we truly will never be thirsty again. Amen. Sundays in Lent, and basically the remaining Sundays in March beginning today, we will be doing what we used to do prior to the pandemic, and that is offering communion for anyone who would like to receive after the postlude. So if you would like to be part of that, Pastor Bridie will be here to consecrate. Please come on down and sit in these first two rows on this side, and you're welcome to fill out a prayer request. While you are waiting or while you are meditating or before or after communion. So not something we'll do in the service, but following the postlude. Go forth this day celebrating love, knowing that God loves you for who you are and that God sees you fully. Go forth in peace to love and serve the world. Amen.
Thank you.
you would like to receive communion, I invite you to join us in the first two rows. And I'm wondering if I might have the assistance from one of our ushers, please, in the back.